Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
So open your Bible with me today, if you would please, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're in a series on Don't Limit God. It's amazing. A lot of people don't think you can, but the Bible says we can, right? A lot of people think God's in control of everything. God is not in control of everything. If he was, there'd be no wars, there'd be no abortion, there'd be no incest, there'd be no, you know, drunkenness, there'd be no addictions if God was in control. Every church would be full in St. Louis if God was in control, right? God is not in control. God is only in control of what we give him in our life. So don't limit God. We as human beings can limit what God wants to do in our life. And we want to remove those limitations through this series, right? I have them. I know I have them. I know we all have them, right? We have things that we don't even know about that's limiting God. My prayer as your pastor, as I teach you line upon line, verse upon verse every weekend, that revelation will come into your life and that you'll begin to see those things, not to be condemning, but so that we can correct and get back on course, right? And receive everything that God has for us. Amen? Because God has more in store for you and me. So I don't want to limit God. I don't want you to limit God. I want to find out if I am where I am, and then I want to repent. So last weekend we started, if you weren't with us, you can go to our website and you can get the teaching free. It's accessible there for you. But what I want to do is I'm going to give you lots of scriptures. We have lots of scriptures. Is that okay? We're a word church. We're a word church. We honor the word. The word will honor us. Signs and wonders don't follow a personality. They follow the word. Mark 16, signs and wonders don't follow a personality, but they follow the word. So if we put the word out there, we'll get miracles. Amen, everybody? So y'all ready to get right into it? Say it with me, don't limit God. All right, Psalm 78, this is our text. We're looking at a group of people in the Bible, if this is new to you, that way back in Exodus, God was leading his people out of Egypt. The leader was Moses. And he was leading them out of Egypt, and he wanted to take them into the promised land, Canaan land, which is a type of God's very best. He took them out to bring them in, but he couldn't fulfill his will for their life because they limited him from what he could do and wanted to do for them. It wasn't God's will that they died in the wilderness. God's will is very rarely done in a person's life. We get in the way. So we want to learn from them so we don't repeat what Pete did. Right? So let's look at it. Psalm 78, verse 40. How often did they provoke God in the wilderness, in their journey? We're all on a journey, and on our journey is difficulties, disappointment. On our journey, there's giants in the land, right? On our journey, it's not, you know, hunky-dory. Y'all know hunky-dory. It's not all tiptoe through the tulips. It's not all, you know, just freelancing. It's not all freewheeling. It's not easy, right? On our journey, there's difficulties, there's disappointment, there's hardship, there's trials, there's tests. There's giants to keep us out of what God wants to bring us into, right? So we have to learn how to respond to difficulties, respond to delays and disappointments and distractions. How often did they tick God off in the wilderness? They grieved him, God, in the desert. We can actually grieve God? Yes. They turned back and they tempted God. And look at this. This is in the Bible. This is not blunt. It's Bible. And they limited. Everyone say limited. It's right there, y'all. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, I want to know how those folk limited God so I don't. I want to learn from them so I don't repeat what they did. And that's what we're doing in our study, is that we're finding out how did they limit God? How did they limit God? They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. The enemy reference here is Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type and shadow, a metaphor of the devil, our adversary, okay? Dragon breath. They remembered not God's hand, how he delivered them out, 10 plagues. He delivered them out of Egypt, split the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army was following them. They drowned. They were overthrown in the Red Sea. But they forgot about what God had did in the past, all right? So they limited God. We found out one way, don't you love that up on the screen there for you? One way they limited God was through unbelief. One way they limited God was through unbelief. Now, last weekend, I showed you there's two kinds of unbelief in the Bible. Two kinds of unbelief in the Bible. One is disobedience, knowing, not doing. The other is not knowing and not doing. Two kinds of unbelief. You could go back to last weekend's teaching and you can study it for yourself. But everyone say unbelief. So, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Rest here is a metaphor of God's best. God's best is God's rest. God's rest is God's best. He's referring to these particular group of people that came out of Egypt into the wilderness, never made it to God's will, God's plan, God's dream. I'm speaking to dreamers today. Don't give up on your dream. Amen? They should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, to them that believed not. I'm going to slow down a little bit. Verse 19. So we see then, we get revelation, we get insight from them, so we don't repeat it. They could not enter into God's will, God's best, God's plan, God's promised land, because of the color of their skin. No. Economics, education, age. No, because of their unbelief. So mark it down. The number one way we limit God is wrong believing or unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of belief. And believing or not believing is a choice. Believing or not believing is a choice. So unbelief kept them out. They limited God through their unbelief. Now, you might want to write this down, because now I'm going to give you the second way they limited God. And this is how they limited God: through complaining. The voice of unbelief. Now, we're building unbelief, but the voice of unbelief is to complain. When I'm complaining, I can't be believing. Now, why would Pastor teach this? There's more whiners than winners in the world right now. There's more whiners than winners in the world right now. There's more people feeling sorry for themselves instead of pressing in to become who God wants them to be, do, and have. So I'm dealing with the villain of self-pity. I'm dealing with the villain of a victim mentality. The voice of unbelief is complaining. I can't be in faith and complain about the service, the music, the fog, the scent, the worship, or the preacher. I can't be in faith and complain about my job, my health, my marriage, my family, and my future. I can't be in faith and complain at the same time. It's Bible. So I said that now, and I saw Uncle Fred wake up over here on the right-hand side. So let's establish it. Does this preacher know what he's talking about? Well, what does the Word say? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 5, and we're going to look at it again. This is a reference to the same group of people. I want to learn from them so I don't repeat what Pete did. I want to learn from them so I don't limit God. I limit God through unbelief. Secondly, I limit God through complaining about my life. Color of my skin, the way I was raised, what I make, where I live, what I don't have, what I can't do, where I can't go. That's complaining. That's a person in self-pity and unbelief. Now, Pastor, how can you talk this way? Because I'm talking about me. Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, I never complain. Move, quick. Because you're going to get hit by lightning, amen? We got a world full of whiners, and that spirit jumps off, right? But at Church on the Rock, our culture is not to whine. Our culture is to win. When we were born again, we were born to win, not whine. For I do not want you to be el dumos, ignorant, dumb and dumber. Brethren, notice he's talking to Christians. Can Christians be dumb to spiritual things? I guess so. Well, I do not want you to be ignorant Christians, that our forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them. And every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea. Verse 2. And each one of them allowed himself also to be baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were thus brought under obligation to the law and to Moses, to the covenant, consecrated. They were set apart to the service of God. Next verse, verse 3. And all of them ate the same spiritual, look at this, supernatural given food. Didn't they get manna from Taco Bell? No, they got manna, right? And manna, it was angels' food. It was actually supernatural food to give them supernatural strength. It was the food that angels ate. Supernatural given food, verse 4. Verse 4, guys. And they all drank the same spiritual supernatural given drink. We serve a supernatural God, supernatural provision. For they drank from a spiritual rock which followed them, produced by the sole power of God himself, without natural instruments. God can provide for you when it looks like there's no way. When you and I are tithers and givers, we're in covenant, and your job in the government is not your source. Without natural instruments, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority of them. Notice, the majority is usually wrong. God was not pleased with the great majority of Christians, believers, the Israelites. He was not pleased with the great majority of them, for they were overthrown. Why wasn't God pleased? For they were overthrown and they were struck down along the ground or in the journey. The journey beat them instead of them beating the journey. Strew them down, knock them down on the ground in the wilderness. Next verse. So we see then that God was unhappy with them because they were overthrown, right? Because they didn't walk in victory, they walked as a victim because they were complaining. We should not tempt the Lord, try his patience, or look at this, become a trial to God. You might say, I know who that is, I live with him. No. Become a trial to God? Man, I don't want to be a trial to God. I don't want God to not be pleased with me, because when God isn't pleased with me, I forfeit his favor. So when I complain, I forfeit his favor. We should not tempt the Lord, try his patience, become a trial to God, critically appraise him. God doesn't need any critics. And exploit his goodness, as some of them did, and they were killed by poisonous snakes. Next verse. Nor discontently complain. Is it clear? Is it there? See, this is not to condemn anybody because, you know, don't ask Pastor Kim if I complained this last week, because I'm sure I did. I complained about something because I'm human. But the idea is I want to complain less. I want to get better. I want to get skilled in the Word. I want to get skilled in this revelation, right? So, nor discontently complain as some of them did and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer. Complaining opens the door to the destroyer in my house, on my money, my health, my kids, and my marriage. Complaining opens the door to the devil. Complaining gives ground to the devil. So learn from them, Lord help me, to learn from them that God, through unbelief, they limited you. But we're looking at today, the voice of unbelief is complaining. I can't complain and be in faith at the same time. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. Nor discontently complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer. Wow, so complaining opens the door to the destroyer, who is the devil, who brings death. Doesn't he come to steal, kill, and destroy? Look at Numbers 14, 29, verse 30 as well. This is also talking about those people that came out of Egypt, the wilderness crowd that were supposed to go into God's dream for them, but they couldn't. They limited where God wanted to take them. They limited where God wanted to take them because of unbelief and, number two, complaining. Your dead bodies will fall in the wilderness. Of all who were numbered of you from 20 years old and upward, who have, this is God talking to them, who have murmured against me. So if I complain, I remain. And notice, God hears my murmuring. If I ever wonder if he hears my worship, well, if he hears my murmuring and complaining, he hears my praise and my worship. If he hears my murmuring and complaining and feeling sorry for myself, he hears my praise and my worship. Am I helping anybody today? So God hears it when I'm complaining about him, about my journey, about what I can't do, where I can't go, what I don't have. When I complain about my job, my career, my church, when I complain about my family, my marriage, my children, or my parents, God hears it. And he says, it's going to end right here. So if I complain, I remain, might still live on, might still move on, but never achieve what God could and wants to do in my life. Who have murmured against me, verse 30, surely none of you will come into the land which I swore to give to you. What would that be? A promise. When I complain, I forfeit the promises of God over my life. What God has promised to me doesn't come to pass just because he promised it. What God promised to me doesn't come to pass just because he said it. I have to cooperate. There's a premise for every promise. There's a premise. Well, most Christians don't know what I'm teaching today. Most Christians don't have a clue. Most Christians don't know that we can limit God through unbelief. Number two, through our complaining. It's not blunt. It's Bible. It's right there. He said, none of you will go where I wanted to take you. None of you will go where I wanted to take you because of your complaining. Except those people at Church on the Rock. Except the people of another spirit. Except Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun. Caleb and Joshua. Wow, the two out of the 12, right? Let's go on. We're building now. We're building now. Look at the overhead back there. Now, look at Numbers 11, verse 1. Y'all still with me, family? We came to learn, right? Because we want better job, we want better health, better home, better marriage, better kids, right? Better sleep, right? Better energy. I mean, we want better. We want all God has for us. And when the people out in the lobby, it ticked pastor off, big deal. It ticked God off. Boy, it's getting quiet at the church today. But it helps us, doesn't it? And when the people complain, I don't like that fog. I don't like that scent. I don't like that screen. I don't like the lights. I don't like pastor's beard. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like this church is too big. The service is too short. They're too long. They're too loud. They're too quiet. This church is too black. This church is too white. This church is... What's on the food truck today, Daniel? I sure do love y'all. You guys are not the majority. I don't want to be the majority. I don't want to be a carnal Christian. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Complaining forfeits the favor of God on my job Monday morning. It forfeits the favor of God on my kids away at campus at the university. It forfeits the favor of God. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, consumed them. They became crispy critter Christians. The first church of the crispy critters. That's not our legacy at Church on the Rock. Burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the church, of the camp. It was their choice. God didn't want to do that. God wanted to take them in. But they limited God by complaining about God, right? They were criticizing God, criticizing his promises. And so God is a just God. When they break the spiritual laws, then we get the results. So let's build a little bit, can we? Philippians 2, verse 14. Do some things, a few things. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourself. This is New Testament, right, y'all? Do all things, not some, all things. Boy, God help us to be, well, I'm really spiritual. How you doing on this verse? Well, I've been in the way. That's the problem. Y'all been in the way. You need to get out of God's way. How are we skilled with this verse? When things don't go right, when people talk about us, when it takes longer, when we don't get what we expect, when we're disappointed along our journey, when we're distracted along our journey, when it's delayed, how do we respond? I got to work on this verse probably until the rapture. How about you? Seven honest people. Move out of the way because fire's coming. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding. I told Daniel, I looked up in my Webster 1828 dictionary that Jerry Savelle gave me years ago. I looked up the word complain. And it said there in 1828 Webster, it said a complainer is one who finds fault. A complainer is one who's looking for the negative. Yeah. Guess what? You're going to find it. I just welcome you all here today. We love you. I'm so glad you came here online. You know, I'm so glad you're here. But if you're visiting and you're looking for a perfect church, it's not going to happen. Because wherever you go, aren't any perfect churches. And if you're looking for fault, you're going to find it. If you're looking for fault in your mate, you're going to find it. Fault in your kids, you're going to find it. Fault in your job, you're going to find it. You're going to look what you're going to get what you're looking for. And a fault finder is someone who complains, according to Webster. A complainer is someone who finds fault with everything in the service, at their job, in their marriage, with their kids, with their neighbors. And guess what? When I complain, I forfeit the promises of God, the favor of God. I open the door to the devil to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. I really think, I'm going to be honest with you, I think complaining is worse than COVID. Because it'll kill you quicker than COVID. It'll kill. Oh, maybe not. You won't see it, you know, in the natural, but it's happening whether you see it or not. Your family's decaying, your kids are decaying, your home is decaying, your marriage is decaying, your health. Ask the doctors about a negative attitude. Ask the doctors in our church and our nurses what a negative attitude does for you when you go into surgery. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding, complaining against God, questioning and doubting among yourself. So it's against God's will to complain. The voice of unbelief is complaining. When I complain, have it up on the screen, I limit what God can do in my life. I limit what God can do in my life. We had scriptures for this, but you know we don't have the time to go through them all. We read several of them. Number two, I lose the victory. Notice they were overthrown in the wilderness. In the King James, it basically says they lost the victory. Complaining will cause me to lose the victory because complaining is the voice of a victim. I lose the victory when I complain. Number three, I open the door to the destroyer. Didn't we read that, family? I open the door to the destroyer. I know I'm going quickly, but they're putting it back there on the screen for you. You'll see several churches in St. Louis will start doing this. It robs me of God's best. It robs me of God's best. God is displeased and I forfeit his favor when I complain. We're flesh and our tendency is to complain. It's easier to complain than to be thankful. God is displeased and I forfeit his favor. I would get a hold of this message and I'd write this down and I'd have it in my Bible, because the world has never been more critical. The world has never been more negative. The world has never been more cynical. The world has never been more politically correct. And I could go on and on and on, but that'd be a soapbox. So we need this if you and I are going to have an abundant life in the world that we live in. Number six, I overcome complaining. How do I overcome complaining? And number one, by remembering what God has done for me. By remembering what God has done for me. See, they forgot what God did for them, right? I overcome complaining by remembering what God has done for me. Can you all say that with me? By remembering what God has done for me. What has God done for you through this church? You know, it's interesting to me. Can I get a little pastoral here for a minute? You know, we're having over 100 decisions every weekend for Christ, but yet somebody will complain about something happened in the lobby or something happened in the pickup or the parking lot, and they'll complain about that, but yet they forgot about they got saved here. They got healed here. I fed them here. They got victory here down through the years. Hundreds of people are coming to Christ every month. Why don't we focus on not faults, but what God's doing? So just thought I'd throw that out there a little bit. You know, I'm writing a book right now with John Mason, and he said, I want you to be just as bold and strong with the book as you are in person. I said, I don't know, John, if anybody want to buy that book. Number two. Let's go on, guys. We'll pass the scriptures. Giving God thanks. Giving God thanks. I overcome complaining by giving God thanks. I can't be thankful and complaining at the same time. Giving God thanks. So number one, by remembering what God has done. See, they forgot. He delivered them from Egypt. He delivered them from Pharaoh and Pharaoh's army. He delivered them from slavery and building pyramids and eating onions. Right. Ew, bad breath builders. All right? So then number three. Well, let's do this. Do we have the scripture on that, guys? Let's go back. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing, as the team comes out, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to his name, the Most High. You want to get high? On the Most High. Give him thanks. Next, guys. Next. Focusing on God's future for my life. How I overcome complaining. By focusing on God's future for my life. Scripture for that, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you future. I overcome complaining by remembering what God has done, by giving God thanks, by focusing on my future. Remember, we started off earlier during the worship time. We're fellowshipping more with our problems than our future. We said God earlier, but you could also apply that principle here, right? How much time do you focus on your future God has for you, the promised land, the Canaan land, versus how much time we spend fellowshipping with our problems all day and all night? So focusing on my future, that's how we're going to just skip right through there. And then number four, looking at God's mercy every morning. Looking at God's mercy every morning, I overcome. How I start my day, how winners start their day. What's the first three things a winner does in the day? I heard Tony Robbins talking the other day. Anthony Robbins, you may not like him, you may say he's a spook, but you know, there's some things you can learn from anybody if you're open, right? You eat, when I go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, eat the chicken and I throw away the bones. Thank you for that excitement over that revelation, amen? So Anthony Robbins said there's three things he does every morning to start his day. He said, I do a cold bath, get in a cold tub. Then he said, there's three things that I think about I'm thankful for. Three things I think about I'm thankful for. And then he said, there's three things that I focus on in my future that I want to do. Multi-billionaire, looking at God's mercy every morning. A scripture for that. I love this verse. Psalm 92, verse 2. He said, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning. So when you get up in the morning, I like what Marilyn Hickey says. Marilyn Hickey says she gets up every morning and says, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. This is Marilyn Hickey. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Here's your beloved. Here's your beloved. The Bible says when you're in Christ, you're in the beloved. You're loved by God, the Trinity. So focus on his love in the morning. And then look at this. You focus on his faithfulness every night. Oh, I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. You focus on his number five. You look at his faithfulness every evening. How you start your day, how you end your day is how you're going to sleep at night. Looking at his faithfulness every evening. Scripture for that, guys, again, Psalm 92, verse 2. In the morning, wow. In the morning, if billionaires do it, in the morning, look at the mercy of God. At night, you look at the faithfulness of God. Oh, I like it. I like no calories. This is good eating right here. Amen. All right. So how do I overcome complaining? And then number six is I meditate on his promises daily. I meditate on his promises daily. I feed my spirit. I starve my doubt and feed my faith. I spend more time fellowshipping on his promises than I do fellowshipping on my problems. I spend more time fellowshipping on his promises than I do fellowshipping on my problems. Sure do love y'all. Scripture for this, we won't go there. We'll skip through it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And number 7, I like this one. How to overcome complaining? Stay full of his joy daily. Stay full of his joy daily. Ooh, now this is a verse I've been standing on for several weeks. Look at this verse short, guys. I love this. Psalm 28, verse 7. I got this on my computer. I got this where I pray. I have a prayer chair. I got this by my prayer chair. The Lord protects and the Lord defends me when I trust him. He gives me help and he makes me sad. Oh, he makes me glad when I praise him with joyful songs. It didn't say when I feel like praising him. It says when I praise him with what kind of songs? Tempted and tried over. That's a song I grew up on in the church. Amen. Boy, that was a joyful song. Can I have a witness, all you holy rollers? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord, so stay full of the joy of the Lord. The Lord protects and defends me when I trust him. He gives me help and makes me glad when I praise him with joyful songs. Those are how many ways? 7 ways how we overcome complaining. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? First of all, repent for being a complainer. Pick your wife up. She just fell off the floor when you said that right there. I repent for being a complainer. Number 2, help me to dwell on the good. Help me to dwell on the good, Lord. So I repent for being a complainer. Then number 2, I ask God to help me to dwell on the good. We're to focus on things that are good, right? Virtue, right? That's Philippians chapter 4. And then number 3, help me not to focus on disappointments and difficulties and feel sorry for myself. Help me not to focus on the journey and feel sorry for myself. Help me not to fellowship with my problems, but help me to fellowship with you throughout the day. Those are takeaways. Y'all get anything today? 33 minutes. Give God praise, would you? Come on, let's thank him for the word. Thank him for the word. Come on, really thank him for the word. That's huge. That's huge because he watches over his word to perform it. Amen. So the word in your life is what God can do. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one moving here online. Big question. Are you ready? If God is not in your life, are you ready to let God in your life? Are you to a point in your life where you want change and you want your life to get better and You want the void to be filled, and you want to have peace, and you want to know where you're going to go when you die. You want to overcome the fear of death, overcome the fear of old age, overcome the fear of your future. Are you ready? If you've never made God, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'd love to lead you to Him today, because He loves you, He cares about you, and He's for you. Or you might be online, you might be a believer, but you say, man, oh man, Pastor, I've been through COVID complaining about everything. And then I'm around people at work or school, my neighborhood is contagious, you're right. And I want to repent, I want to reset, and I want to get my life on track. And I want no longer to limit God. Pray for me. If that's you online, punch the button on your smartphone, on your computer. We've been having record decisions in our online campus the last few weeks. Record decisions. There's a revival of the Bible at Church on the Rock. Same thing here in the physical campus here in this room, in the lobby, the Rock Express. Either or, you say, Pastor, I don't know God, but Michael sang it a while ago. I want to know God. I want a relationship with God. Not religion, Pastor, but I want to know God. Or, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but man, I've been miserable. I've felt restrained, restricted. I know I've been limiting God. I know I need to reset my life. I know I need to rededicate, recommit, and consecrate. Pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's going to come to you, but faith is an act. You need to do something. Just raise your hand up, would you? Every section, wave it at me in Jesus' name. As I scan across the audience, powerful. Put the hand up high. Don't miss this opportunity. Every time I say no, it's harder to say yes the next time. You put your hands down. Church, let's help them. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Can we celebrate with all of heaven?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.